Amen. At times I wonder who these people are introducing. Surely it's not me. Because by the time we finish, you will know that they've been exaggerating. But all the same, if you are clapping, I believe that clap is for Jesus. So clap as if you really mean you want to clap for Jesus. Come on, give the Almighty God a big hand. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Worthy of adoration. He's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy to be magnified. Let's give him all glory. Thank you very much. Thank you. Let us pray. Father, it is to you we give all glory. It is to you we give all honor, all adoration. No man can look after himself, talk less of look after other people. But you are the Almighty. You are the all-seeing. You are the all-knowing. And you are everywhere at all times. And we thank you because you are never tired. You are never weary. We don't need an appointment to see you. Because you don't travel. And you are available to us all the time. Thank you because we know you are here tonight. Because your word says where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are there. And we know wherever you are, miracles must happen. So I know, Lord God Almighty, that the lives of those of us who are here today will never be the same again. Amen. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Daddy, it is written, he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Tonight, as your word will be going forth, I pray that we will heal everyone here present in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Physically, heal us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Mentally, heal us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Spiritually, heal us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Financially, heal us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And even matrimonially, heal us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
At the end of everything today, Lord, let all glory and honor be yours and yours alone in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for we pray in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I am sure you are already blessed. I've been blessed by the singing of the first choir that came. They are wonderful, one of my favorites. But when I began to listen to the youngest choir in town, I began to wonder whether I shouldn't go back and join the choir myself. Amen. It's a privilege to be here, and I'm here because the Almighty God commanded it. Because, like I told those who came to visit yesterday, my legs were paining me out of tiredness. But then still, Daddy said, go with them. Because there is one or two person there that I want to visit. So I came. Maybe you are the one that the Almighty God... If you are the one, let me hear you shout hallelujah. And when he said go, I said, Lord, I have not prepared a sermon. And he said, I will tell you what to say. And when this morning he told me the sermon I am to preach, it's not a new sermon, it's an old sermon. But each time he had asked me to preach that sermon, something had happened. I knew then without any doubt that there is someone here that the Almighty God really, really is interested in. And I want to congratulate whoever that fellow is in advance. Because today is going to be a day to remember.
Amen.
The text is found in 1 Kings chapter 18. Verse 46. 1 Kings chapter 18, Verse 46. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Anyone who has done any little bit of Bible study will know the story behind that verse. The Almighty God chose a man called Abraham and decided out of him to form a nation, the nation that we know today as Israel. All kinds of things happened, but we all know that at the end of the day, Israel ended up in Egypt, and they were there for 400 years. After 400 years, God brought them out with his powerful hand through all kinds of miracles, signs, and wonders. After they left, Pharaoh pursued them. And you know what happened to Pharaoh and his host. God drowned them in the Red Sea. And why the children of Israel were on the other side? Because they were walking in the wilderness, no restaurants there, no supermarkets, no hospital. And the Almighty God fed them from heaven. He brought water out of the rock for them to drink. And he made sure that there was not a single feeble one among them. Finally, they got to the promised land. And the Almighty God reached an agreement with them. If you will worship me and worship me only, you will be heard and you'll be heard only. You'll be lending to nations you will never borrow. And made them all kinds of wonderful promises. But he said, if you turn against me to worship another God, I will fight. Well, of course, they all say, you are the only one we will worship. But then, after some time, just like it happens to our New Year resolutions, they broke their covenant with the Almighty. And through a king called Ahab, they began to worship an idol called Baal. And God got angry and sent a man called Elijah to go and tell them what he wanted to do. So Elijah walked into the palace of the king and said unto him, as the Lord God Jehovah liveth, before whom I stand, there be no rain or dew until I call for it. And he said, Your Majesty, and walked out. 3 years followed when there was no rain and there was no dew. And a lot of sufferings followed. But after 3 years, the ever merciful God remembered his covenant with these people and said, I think they have suffered enough. I will send rain. I believe that Nigeria has suffered enough. I believe that this year God will send rain. But before he sent the rain, he said, let there be a competition. Let's find out who actually is God. So Elijah called all the prophets of Baal together and said, offer a sacrifice to your God, I will offer a sacrifice to my God. There's only one thing, and that is, each sacrifice must just be laid out. You must not apply fire. Call on your God, I will call on my God. The God that answers by fire, let him be God. And the prophet of Baal said, that's wonderful, because Baal is supposed to be the God of the sun. And if you are the God of the sun, you should be able to light a little fire. So they thought it's going to be a very fair competition. And they called on their God. You know the rest of the story. They called on their God from morning to evening, and nothing happened because the God they were serving could neither hear nor speak. So after some time, Elijah said, well, will you please step aside and let me call on my God? He called on the Lord. Before he finished speaking, fire fell. and consume not only the offering, but the stone, the waters, and even the earth. After which, Elijah decided to get rid of all the idol worshippers. And then he went to Ahab, the king, and said, "Your Majesty, I have heard the sound of abundance of rain. Now I want you to get into your chariot and begin to move quickly to the town because the rain is about to fall, or else the rain will beat you." So Ahab got into his chariot, and the chariot, according to Bible scholars, was drawn by the best horses in the land. And Elijah tightened his belt, and there was a race between a man on his feet and a chariot drawn by the best horses in the land over a distance of 6 miles. And the man won the race because the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. The main point God wants me to bring to your attention, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, is that when God touches a man, a miracle happens. Now, when God asked me to preach on this topic, I remember a story I told you before. I was invited to preach in a gathering like this somewhere in VI. And while the people were sitting down getting ready, the host or hostess asked me to wait in the living room. And in the living room where I was sitting, I could see 5 other living rooms in ascending order of splendor. Now, the topic I wanted to speak on that evening was your miracle is around the corner. But when I saw the splendor, I decided to change the topic. Because this fellow does not need a miracle. I wanted to change the topic to something like, "Oh, that man will praise the Lord. Or what the Lord has done for me, I cannot tell it all." But then God spoke to me and said, "They need a miracle more than you think." I cannot imagine the Almighty God asking me to talk to a gathering like this on "you need the touch of God." Because you don't look like people who need miracles. Or is there anybody here in need of a miracle? Let me hear you say amen. Whenever God touches a man or a woman, a miracle will happen. And God wants to touch somebody seriously this evening. When you go through the scriptures, you will find examples upon examples of people that God touched and they received their miracle. I will give you one or two examples quickly. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. The Bible says Jesus Christ was coming down from the mountain, and a great multitude followed him. And behold, there came a leper and fell down at his feet and worshipped him and said, "If thou wilt, thou can make me clean." And Jesus touched him and said, "I will, be thou clean." And his leprosy left him immediately. When God touches someone who is considered incurable, he gets instantaneous healing. There are many, many sicknesses and diseases today that the doctors will tell you, "We can't cure this. We can only control it." I don't need to begin to mention them. You know them more than I do. Hypertension, asthma, etc., etc., not to mention things like AIDS and so on. But one thing I know is this: one touch from the Almighty God, and anything, any sickness, no matter how long it's been there, no matter the nature, will just vanish. I give you an example. I was invited to a town, a church, somewhere in the north, to come and preach. After I finished preaching, the pastor said, "I want you to rest a while before you go, so So he puts me in his office and he puts a man at the door to make sure that nobody will come to disturb me. But very soon I heard a conversation going on. A woman was speaking to the man at the door, saying, "I want to see the pastor." And the man at the door said, "What do you want to see him about?" And the woman said, "That's none of your business." And the man at the door suddenly found himself powerful because he's now the entrance. Said, "Well, if you don't tell me what you want to see him about, I'm not going to allow you in." Anyway, they began to struggle. After some time, the woman came in. And when she came in, she was dressed like our northern sisters, only the eyes showing. Everything else was covered. So I said, "Yes, what can I do to help you?" And she said, "Sir, the reason I'm going to tell you my problem is because of two things. Number one, you don't live here. And number two, I've not heard anyone speak about God the way you have done tonight, and my faith has risen." So I said, "Okay, so what's the problem?" And then she removed the headgear, and behold, she was a leper. I drew back in horror. I couldn't help it. "Woman, what are you doing here? Why didn't you go to the hospital?" She said, "I'm a widow. I have two sons. If I go to the hospital, they put me in the leper colony. And who will look after my sons?" "Well, in that case, why didn't you ask the brethren to pray for you?" "Ah," she said, "I told you. The reason I'm telling you this is because you don't live here. Suppose I tell them and they pray and nothing happens. Next Sunday, when they see me coming, they say, 'Here comes the leper.' And everybody will be running from me. But you are going." "So if nothing happens, you will not be here next Sunday." And I prayed for her. A kind of short prayer that I will pray sometimes later tonight. Of course, I couldn't touch her. She wasn't something anybody would want to touch. But I asked my Father in heaven to touch her. I prayed the prayer, she left, and I left. 6 months later, I was back in the same church. As I was coming out of the car, there was this very beautiful lady, smiling radiantly, coming towards me. I said, "Pastor, don't you remember me?" I said, "I'm sorry, madam. I meet so many people. How many will I remember?" She said, "I was the leper, but your Father has cleansed me." When God touches a man or a woman, a miracle happens. The incurable becomes cured. In John chapter 9, verse 1 to 7, John 9, verse 1 to 7, the Bible tells us of the story of the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples as they were walking by one day, and they saw a man who was born blind. And the disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ, "Who was at fault that this man was born blind? Is it his sins or the sins of his parents?" And Jesus Christ said, "No, this is not even the issue of sin today. It's just that we want to demonstrate our power in his life, so that the name of the Lord will be glorified in his life." So Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud, and put it where the eyes of this man should have been. Apparently the man was in a hurry to get to the world. He didn't wait for eyes. And he just told the man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The man went, washed, and came back seeing. That story teaches us that when God touches the blind will begin to see. And there are many of us here who will say straight away, "Well, that doesn't concern me because, thank God, I'm not blind." But you see, if you follow that story that I mentioned in John chapter 9, verse 1 to 7, there was a place where they asked the man, "Give glory to God. We know that Jesus Christ is a sinner. He could not have healed you." The man said, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know is, once I was blind, but now I see." When we talk about physical blindness, that's a very small kind of blindness. The worst kind of blindness is spiritual blindness. There are many, many of us, like our chairman said, who until we gave our life to Jesus Christ thought that we had everything. We are sufficient. We don't need more. When people come to us and they talk about being born again or giving your life to Jesus, we look at them and say, you people must be crazy. I've been a Christian before your mother was married. We never know we were missing something until God touches you and he opens your spiritual eyes. You will not know what you are missing. I pray that God will touch every one of us tonight in Jesus' name. But let's take the example of the physical blindness, because God can do that even tonight. 1980, we were having a series of programs. We call it congresses. In three towns, Otukpo, Sapele, and Akure, I divided the brethren, and they were holding the program, and myself and a group of people were traveling from one town to the other to supervise. When I was in Sapele, as I was preaching like this, suddenly God opened my spiritual eyes, and I saw in a vision a boy, a young boy, that was born blind, and I saw his eyes opened. And I got excited. Of course, I'm not as wise as I am now in 1980. I didn't wait for God to finish what he was showing me. I just saw that God wanted to perform a miracle. And I came out of the vision and announced to everybody in the assembly, hey, God wants to open the eye of a blind boy. Please go and bring him wherever he is. If he's here, bring him. Nobody moved. Okay, if you have a blind boy at home, go home, go and bring him. Nobody moved. And I was sad because I knew God wanted to perform a miracle. Somehow, I've missed it. Sadly, we traveled to Akure, where the other program was going. And it was evening when we arrived. Another preacher was preaching. And I was at the back of the auditorium. And as he was preaching, behold, a man got up and took a boy and began to walk towards the altar. Now, in our church, the ushers are highly disciplined. If, as I'm preaching now, somebody should get up and begin to move towards me, they will be on him before he could take three steps. So I saw that it was a boy that I saw in my vision. So I began to run forward before the usher could push him aside, and there was a crowd. Before they would rob this boy of his miracle, I was running to say, please don't disturb him. Let him get forward. Let's pray for him. But as I was running forward, the boy probably heard my footstep, turned like this, and as he turned, his eyes were opened. I didn't pray for him. Nobody prayed for him. Nobody touched him, except the Almighty. I pray God will touch somebody here tonight. Now, you are saying the amen like people of Ikoyi and VI. Praise the Lord. But then God can go even further than that. Not only can he cure the incurable by touching, not only can he open blind eyes simply by touching, he can raise the dead by touching. It's a good example in Mark chapter 5, verse 35 to 42. Mark 5, verse 35 to 42 is the story of Jairus, who lost his daughter. You know the story very well. By the time Jesus came, the girl was dead and people were weeping. And Jesus said, oh, the girl is not dead, she's only sleeping. And they all laughed him to scorn and said, you mean we don't, as old as we are, we don't know the difference between sleep and death? So he drove them out, went in, and touched that little girl, and said unto her, little girl, I say unto you, arise. And the girl came back to life. When God touches a dead man, the dead man will come to life. If he touches a dead marriage, honeymoon will begin. If he touches a dead business where the bankers are threatening to sell everything you have, you discover that within a couple of weeks, the banks will begin to owe you. When it touches a dead brain, the brain will begin to work. I put that one in because I know quite a few of us will already be saying, "Oh, this thing do not concern me. I have more money than I could ever spend. I'm healthy. If I'm sick, I have the best doctors in London to look after me." But as the elders, you elders will say, the man who say, "I can run into a God," cannot take his family into it with him. Many a times when the enemy wants to touch you where it will hurt you, it's not you they will touch. They look for your children. There are many, many of us who have children who should be brilliant, but all they are doing is scoring zeros. So I want to give an example that God can even touch your children through you tonight. There's a boy who is the son of two professors. I won't mention the name of the university. The father is a professor, the mother is a professor. And if you are the son of two professors, you should be a genius. But this boy, his brain was dead. I mean, he was always the last in the class. There was a time when the attendance or the what do you call it now? The number of pupils in his class increased from 30 to 35. And his position moved from 38 to 35th. But because the parents were trained in America, they did everything to help this boy. Computers, videos, private tutors. He kept on getting zero. Finally, when they could not do any other thing, they brought the boy to Jesus. And it is written in the Bible, if anybody lack wisdom, let him ask God. So we just prayed a simple prayer, "Father, give him a new brain." And that was all. The following time in class, he came first. Hallelujah. The teacher was so surprised, said, "No, it can't be this boy, no. No way. Even if you give him the answers to copy, he will make a mistake." So they asked him to sit down in the presence of the parents and gave him another examination, and he scored higher. See, because when God touches the dead will come to life. Is anybody here waiting for God to touch him or her tonight? Well, let me now hear you shout hallelujah. And then the question comes, if the Almighty comes in here tonight and he says, "Well, I sent you down so that I can touch two or three people," how do we know who will be the two or three? Are we sure that he will not just come in there, touch one fellow at the entrance, get into the middle, touch another, and then maybe go to the choir and touch the third and say, "I've done all"? Well, the beauty of it all is this. The power of the Almighty God is like electricity flowing in a wire. If there's a live wire hanging up there, if it drops on you, you are dead. If you touch it, you are dead. In other words, whether God touches you or you touch God, the result will be the same. It's a very good example in Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34. Mark 5, verse 25 to 34. It tells us the story of a woman with the issue of blood. This woman had been having an issue of blood for more than 12 years. One day, the woman, after spending everything she had, made up her mind, "I am going to touch God." She said, "I will go. I'm not going to ask Jesus to pray for me. I'm not going to ask him to lay hands on me. I know there'll be a crowd. What I will do is, instead of him touching me, I will touch him." And she went. And just like she guessed, there was a crowd. And when she got there, because she was determined to receive a miracle, she refused to allow the crowd to deter her. I pray when the time comes, you will not allow anybody to deter you tonight.
Amen.
And I could imagine her pushing her way through the crowd. And when people say, "Ah, why are you pushing?" She said, "Excuse me, excuse me." She kept on going. The people were angry. She didn't pay attention to them. She kept moving. Finally, she got behind Jesus Christ and touched the hem of his garment. And as soon as he touched the Almighty God, there was a spark in the heavenly electricity that caused Jesus Christ to say, "Who touched me?" And Peter said, "Everybody is pushing you, sir. How can you say who touched me?" He said, "Somebody who came with a purpose. Somebody has just stolen a miracle." And the woman said, "Well, I'm the one. Forgive me." And the Lord said, "Thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace." Whether God touches you or you touch God, the result will be the same. That is why, brethren, I will want to give you some three simple ways by which you can touch God. So that not only today, but any time for the rest of your life, whenever you need a miracle, you just go ahead and touch God and get your miracle. One way by which you can touch God is by faith. And I'm going to explain that in a moment. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 22 to 28, Matthew 15, verse 22 to 28, the Bible tells us of a woman who came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Lord, help me. My daughter is grievously vexed of the devil. Help me heal her." The Bible said Jesus did not even answer her. And after some time, the disciples said, "This woman is disturbing us. Lord, drive her away." The Lord said, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." The woman came, fell down at his feet and said, "Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is the one in trouble, not me. Help." And the Lord said, "I cannot give the bread of children to dogs." The woman said, "Dog or no dog, I must get my miracle today. I'm not asking for bread. All I'm asking for is just a crumb. Not even the crumb on the table, the one that falls to the ground." After she said that, the Lord was touched. I said, "Ah, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto you according to your faith." And the Bible said, the daughter was made whole that same hour. What do we mean by touching God by faith? Let me give you an illustration. I think this was 1982 or something. I've just become general overseer and I was visiting our churches in Lagos. And there was a woman who'd been barren, I think, for 15 years. Somebody told her, "Oh, there's one young man of God that God is using. If only you can get him to pray for you, you have a baby." And she heard from several other people. You know how people exaggerate, like the fellow who did the introduction. And her faith was so built up that she decided within herself, "I don't need this man of God to pray for me. If I can only set my eyes on him, I know I'll be pregnant." So they told her that we'll be coming to Alagbado. We had a church in Alagbado at that time. We still do, but more than one now. That we'll be coming to Alagbado, and so she got ready. She was there by 6 o'clock, thinking that the service would start by 7. She waited and waited, saw nobody, and said, "Ah, what's going on?" Finally, she asked somebody, "What about the man of God that they said will come here today?" "Hey, he came by 2. And left by 5. So she began to roll on the ground and to weep. I said, "God, now I know you don't want me to have a baby. Because I wasn't going to ask for prayers. All I wanted is just to see your servant from a distance." So when, now he had come and gone. And while she was rolling on the ground, somebody came and said, "Woman, what's wrong? What's the problem?" She told the story. I said, "Don't worry. I learned that
is going to Agege tomorrow.
Ah.
6 a.m. she was in Agege. When we arrived at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, she didn't know who is who, because many of my pastors are bigger men than myself. She said, no problem, at least sooner or later they will introduce him. And when they introduced us to come and speak, as soon as I stood up, she said, hallelujah. 9 months later, she had a baby boy. See, that kind of faith will touch God any moment. The kind of faith that will say within your heart, even as you are listening, that it must be me God is talking to. It must be because of me they organized this meeting. I'm not going to get out of that door the way I came in. That kind of faith will touch God any moment. That's the first way to touch God. It's the second way. And I'm telling you this not because, thank God there is, I don't think you are taking an offering tonight. Good. So I'm not going to say this because they wanted to take an offering. I am saying it because it is true. And I'll prove it from the Bible. The second way by which you can touch God is by giving. By giving to the best of your ability. No matter how little that may be. In Mark chapter 12, verse 42. Mark 12, verse 42. The Bible tells us the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, how one day he went into the synagogue and sat by the offering box. And he watched as the rich men came to drop money into the offering box. And when they saw Jesus sitting by the offering box, they said, go, this is an opportunity to show this prophet that without us, this church cannot exist. And I'm sure they carried a bag of coins, and as they were dropping it in, they must be looking at him with one corner of the eye, say, we hope you are watching. And then there was this widow who had only 2 cupboards. And when she saw Jesus sitting by the offering box, she said, oh God, my secret will be out today. Why is this man sitting down there? I'm sure she must have kept money behind her back, moved quickly to the offering box, dropped it in before Jesus could see it, and began to run away. But she had already touched God. Because Jesus called the disciples together because of that lady. And said, look at that woman. She had given more than anyone else here today. And the disciples had to say, this woman, we saw her last Sunday. She had only 1 dress. How could she possibly give more than everyone else? And the Lord said, because she gave all that she had. I pray today that when the time comes to give, you will give all you have. And I'm not talking of money. I'm talking of giving yourself. Because when you give yourself, what else can you give? You will have given all. But let me give you one example. On the material side, this one again happened, I think, in 1981 or so. I went to visit one of our churches in what used to be known then as Oyo State. And after I finished preaching, I was standing outside the church waiting for my driver to bring the vehicle. And there was this young man who was coming out of the church, and he was coming towards me. And as he was coming, he was prostrating and getting up. And as he was doing so, he was saying, please don't be angry, sir. Please don't be angry, sir. I was wondering what's wrong with this boy. When he got close to me, he dropped something in the pocket of my jacket and began to run. Now, if somebody is apologizing before dropping something in your pocket, you better check it quickly. Because it could be a bomb. So I put my hand in my pocket to see what was it he was apologizing about. And it was a 50 kobo note. So I called him back. I said, what's the apology about? He said, well, they announced to us that you are coming. And I know you are the representative of God for us. And I wanted to give something. How do you give such a big man 50 kobo? That's why I begged you before I did it. And I said, son,
I promise you I will spend this money myself. And I bless you in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And of course, he jumped up and danced and ran away. 2 years later, I was back in the same church. And the young man came and said, "Do you remember?" I said, "I can't forget somebody like you." That's the 50 cover boy. He said, "Daddy, I am now the proprietor of a school." I said, "You are what?" He said, "I own a school now." I said, "How?" He said, "By the time you came last time, I had no job. So all I was doing was gathering little children together, teaching them lessons. And the parents, they paid if they want. When they don't want, they didn't pay because they didn't bring them. I gathered them together. But after you said, 'I bless you in the name of the Lord,' every child I taught came first in class. So news spread. And people began to say, 'If you want your child to do well, take him or her to brother so-and-so.' And very soon, I had more students than I could handle alone. So I began to employ other teachers. And now I have a school." You can touch God by giving. Give you the third way you can touch God. That is by persistent prayer. The kind of prayer that will not let God go. It's in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. Mark 10, verse 46 to 52 tells us the story of blind Bartimaeus, who was sitting by the roadside begging. And then he heard that Jesus was passing by, just like today. And he decided, opportunity knocks but once. I will not let this opportunity pass me by. So he began to yell and began to cry, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." You remember the people there said, "Shut up. Who told you that God will pay attention to a poor beggar like yourself?" And he said, "I'm not going to keep quiet. You are not the one in darkness, I'm the one. And I know that this is the only solution to my problem." He kept on crying until the Almighty God stopped and said, "Go and bring him." They brought him. That day when they brought him to the roadside, he was a beggar, blind, in darkness. By the time he received a touch from the Almighty God, his eyes were open, his darkness has become light, and he never begged again. He prayed persistently. I tell you a story. There was a lady who, when she was in school, messed around, got pregnant, and tried to abort. They didn't do it too well. And when she was about to bleed to death, they rushed her to the hospital. The doctor said that there's only one way to save her life, and that's by removing her womb. So they removed her womb. And later on, when she was of marriageable age, she went ahead and married. I'm sure she didn't tell the husband that she had no womb. And of course, if you have no womb, where will babies come from? Then one day she became born again and heard, like you are hearing now, that with God nothing shall be impossible. So she began to go to the pastor, "Please pray for me, I need a child, pray for me, I need a child." The pastor prayed and prayed and prayed. After some time, the pastor said, "Wait a minute, woman. I prayed for so and so the same time I prayed for you 3 years ago. That fellow had 2 children now. I prayed for this and this fellow. Well, tell me your story." And she told the pastor the truth. And the pastor said, "You have no womb, but you're asking for a baby." And she said, "But are you not the one who taught us that with God, nothing shall be impossible?" God have mercy on pastors. But from that day onward, whenever the pastor saw her coming from the right door, he ran out of the left door. So one day when she discovered that the pastor was running from her, she took her eyes off the pastor
And said, I will talk to God directly. And she kept on petitioning God every day. You must have mercy. I know I've done wrong. But you told me when I gave my life to Jesus that the blood of your Son cleanses from all sins. Now, my sins are gone. I want mercy. And one day, God had her. God will hear you today too.
Amen.
And she had a dream. And in the dream, she was stark naked, standing. And she saw a man, a very huge man, come right through the wall. Not through the door, through the wall. Holding the skin of an animal in his hand. And walking towards her. She was petrified. So she couldn't even move where she was standing. And when the man got to her, he wrapped the skin of the animal around. In fact, it is a heavenly electricity. And as we all know, no matter how powerful the current may be in a piece of wire, if you can wrap around it a little piece of rubber called insulator, a child can hold it and play with it. Because he will not be able to touch the wire will not be able to touch the boy. My brothers and my sisters, it's my duty to tell you tonight that there is an insulator that can prevent God from touching you and prevent you from touching God. And that insulator is called sin. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2 says, the hand of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God that he will not hear. Sin is the insulator that can separate a man or a woman from God. And unless that sin is removed, there is no way you can touch him. And there's no way he can touch you. The good news, of course, is that he had made provision for wiping away your sins. According to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sins. When we talk about being born again, what we're talking about is, when you say, I surrender my life to God, and I ask God to wash away all my sins, you become a brand new creature. Your old history will be completely forgotten as far as God is concerned. God will not even remember that you ever committed a single sin because the blood will wipe it all away. But he will not force you to surrender your life to him. That is a choice you have to make. And if you refuse to make the choice, then the Almighty God will be justified when whatever happens, happens. Now, if we were younger people, we may say we want to delay our decision. But because we are all elderly people, at least we are over 40, with the exception of some of my children there. And as you elders will say, a fool at 40 is a fool forever. We have reached the age of wisdom. The age where it will be wisdom for us to make up our minds. Do we want to be in contact with God? Or do we want to be separated from him? And I tell you two quick stories and I will close. To let you know, whichever way you decide, will determine what your fate will be. They brought a lady to the camp some years ago. I knew her, I had always loved her, and I knew the husband, I've always loved the husband. The family is like my family. And she was in a coma, dying. And they said, we brought her because we knew if we will pray for her, she will live. And of course I said, Lord, this one is not going to die. So I, from the very bottom of my heart, I was ready to pray for her. As I was about to lay my hands on her, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Son, don't waste your time. She's been living in sin. I have given her several opportunities to decide. She kept on turning deaf ears. It is too late." I said, "Lord, you have to be merciful. Ah, your mercy endureth forever." Et cetera, et cetera. So I laid my hands on her. I prayed for her. I could feel the power of God flow like warm oil all the way through my hand to the top of her head. As soon as it got to the top of her head, it receded. I ran to the altar in the auditorium. Nobody was there. I fell on my face before the Almighty God. I said, "Please, please, Lord, please, just have mercy. Just revive her. Revive her for 5 minutes. Let me talk to her. If she says no, then you..." The Lord said, "It is too late." I ran back, laid my hands on her, the same process, came back the third time, rolled on the ground, "Please, Lord, do this for me. I know how much you love me." And before I got back, she was dead. That's one example. The second example, some of you probably have heard it before. I was invited by one KBC in one of our major towns to come and preach at a Thanksgiving service that he was having. And before the service began, the ushers ran to me and said, "Sir, the chiefs are coming. And they are all dressed in all form of regalias of various secret societies. Are we going to allow them into the church?" I said, "Of course. Ah, put them in the front row." I mean, Jesus Christ said, "Those who are whole need no physician." He said, "I didn't come for the righteous. I'm here to call sinners to repentance. Put them in the front row." But then I changed my topic from "Bless the Lord, oh my soul," to something else. And of course, I'm talking of 1979. So you will know that at that time I was much younger than now. So I had a lot of zeal, but very little wisdom. I just laid it down as it was. There was no diplomacy at all. So hard that towards the conclusion, I said to them, I said, "Brethren, all of you who are here listening to me, I want you to know, I came from Ilorin. At that time, I was at the University of Ilorin lecturing. My wife came with me. My little boy is with me. This is the car that I came in, this registration number. I want you to use all the powers, all your magical powers, to make one of the tires of my car go flat. If you do that, I will bow down to your God. If you can't do that, you must surrender to my God." That was the kind of preaching. And then I gave the altar call. And the first fellow to come forward was the leader of all the secret society in the town.
Hallelujah.
And of course, when the leader went forward, the others followed. But after the service, the KBAC said, EA, that's how he calls me, "Let's go and visit." And that man happened to be his second in command. "Let's go and visit my second in command. Let's find out why he gave his life to Jesus." So we got there and we said, "Sir," and Kabi said, "Chief so-so-so," he said, "Kabi, he said, I saw you going forward to give your life to Jesus. Did you know what you were doing?" He said, "I do." "Why did you do that?" And the man said, "You see a small boy like this challenging all of us. Who does not know there must be somebody behind him?" Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
He said, "It's not, I did not surrender to that little boy, I surrendered to the fellow behind him." And we all rejoiced. But you see, the essence of the story was 30 days later, he was dead. You can see how narrowly he missed hell. 30 days before he was to leave this world, he gave his life to Jesus.
Every atrocity he must have committed, wiped away by the blood. When we get to heaven now, we will meet him there. It is up to you, my brothers and my sisters, to decide tonight. Do I want to be on the side of the Lord, where we can be in close contact from time to time? Or do I want to follow my own way and say, I've always been a Christian. I was born into a Christian home, therefore I'm a Christian. Because any moment from now, it may be time for either myself or you to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It is only if the Lord is by your side that you will be able to say, like David said, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Shall we bow our heads, please? I want you to meditate just for a minute on what you have heard tonight. And get ready to take a very, very big decision. Decision as to whether you want to surrender 100% to the Almighty God, your Maker, or you want to keep on going your own way. If you decide that from tonight onward, Jesus will be my Lord, from tonight onward, whatever he says, that's what I will do. From tonight onward, I surrender absolutely, body, soul, and spirit to the Almighty God. But Pastor, I want you to pray for me and with me that the Almighty God may forgive my sins and wash me in his blood. If there's anyone like that here in this assembly, now that all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, will you please just raise your hand so I can pray for you? God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Keep the hand up for just a second. I'm going to pray with you in a moment. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, I can see more hands coming up. Keep it up for 1 minute. There are others who are just deciding. Yes, God bless you. Any other person? Yes, God bless you, my brother. Yes, God bless you. I can see so many hands. Thank God for your life. It must be because of you that we came. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Any other person? Very quickly. I'm about to pray now. Only 30 seconds to go. If you are deciding, decide very quickly. You just raise your hand and join those who have lifted their hands. God bless you. I can see one hand again to my right there. God bless you. God bless you. Any other person? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. If you have just raised your hand, then you just wave it so that they will see you, so that I can see you. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Any other person who is just deciding? Glory be to God forevermore. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Yes, I can see someone by the door there. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. And those of you who lifted your hands, begin to talk to God and say, Father, you can see my hand. I lift it up as a sign of surrender to you. From now on, Lord, you will be my Lord. You will be my Savior. You will be the controller of my life. I don't care what anybody may say. My decision is my decision. I'm deciding for you. I don't care what people may think about me. I am deciding for Jesus. I'm surrendering my life to my Maker. My life is my own. I'm free to hand it over to the Lord, and I've done so now. If there's anyone else who's here to decide, quickly, very quickly now, just raise your hand if you have not done so and wave it so I can see you, so I can pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you very much. Any other person, this is the final call now. You may never have another opportunity. This may be the last time God will give you an opportunity to decide. So if you have not decided, quickly now, raise your hand and I will pray for you. Any other person, please. Any other person? Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. 10 seconds to go. If you are deciding, this is a final call. God will say, I gave you the opportunity. When you get to heaven on the day of judgment, he will show you a video of today where you were given the opportunity and you decided or you refused to decide, whichever way. Anyone else? Oh, thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I want to pray for those who have lifted their hands for salvation. My Father, my God, I want to thank you. I want to bless your holy name for your word that has gone forth this evening. I thank you because your word says no man can come unto me except my Father draws him. Thank you for drawing these people to yourself. And thank you that they have not refused your drawing. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Lord, I want you to remember your promise that whosoever will come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. These people have come to you now, Father. Receive them in Jesus' name. Every sin they had ever committed, forgive them today in Jesus' name. Your blood that cleanses from all sins, let the blood cleanse them from all their sins in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you will write their names in the book of life today in Jesus' name. And I pray that from now on, they will be living as true children of God, obeying you to the letter in Jesus' name. The power to live a holy life, the power to live above sin, Father, give to every one of them in Jesus' name. And I pray that in your kingdom, none of us will be found wanting in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, in a moment, I'm going to pray for all of us. I'm going to ask the Almighty God to touch us, body, soul, spirit, touch our finances, touch our children, touch our marriages, touch our all. But before I do that, there is something we must do very quickly. You see, Jesus Christ said, if any man denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father in heaven. But if any man will confess me before men, I will confess him before my Father in heaven and his angels. Those of you who have decided to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you've done something wonderful. Let us put a seal on it by confessing Jesus Christ publicly before your peers who are here gathered. So all of you who lifted your hands for salvation, will you please stand? Do it very proudly. Do it very, very proudly. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Now, those of you who are near them, will you please shake hands with them? Help me shake hands with them and congratulate them and rejoice with them. Oh, glory be to God. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Let's give the Lord a big hand for these people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, when you lifted your hands, a card was given unto you. Please fill in those cards, and the ushers will be collecting in a moment, and I'm sure the pastor will be talking to you a little more about that later on. But now I want to pray, because I believe the presence of the Almighty God is here mightily tonight. Before I pray for you, I want you to talk to God yourself and just say, Lord, touch me tonight, and tell him the areas that you want him to touch you, that will touch your body and bring healing, touch your children so that they begin to do well at school, or touch a member of the family that must have a miracle, one miracle or the other very soon, or you want him to touch your business. Talk to the Almighty God and say, touch me tonight, Father. Touch me in this area. Let this day be a day I will never forget for the rest of my life. Talk to him. Tell him the areas specifically. Spell them out to him. Say, I've surrendered to you, Lord. I know my sins are gone now. Touch me, O Lord. I believe you, Lord, that before I walk out of here, you will do something in my life. I have that faith, Lord. Let my faith touch you tonight. Let my prayer touch you tonight. Touch me, O Lord. Touch me financially. Give me grace from now on to begin to give so that I will be touching you day by day. Increase my faith so I will be touching you by faith. From now on, Lord, teach me how to pray so I'll be touching you by prayer. But in the meantime, touch me tonight, O Lord. Touch me and make me whole. Let's begin to bring our prayers to a close. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
My Father and my God, I just want to bless your name. I want to thank you because you had already touched your people spiritually. Blind eyes have been opened because all those who gave their lives to you now will suddenly wake up and know that God is alive and is always near. I thank you, my Father and my God, because I know that this is a very, very special night. Lord, accept our thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen.
My prayer, Lord, is that everyone here today will receive a touch from you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Physically, touch us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Mentally, touch us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Spiritually, touch us in Jesus' name. Emotionally, touch us in Jesus' name. Financially, touch us in Jesus' name. Every member of our families, Lord, that might not even be here today, touch them in Jesus' name. Every miracle that these your children must have, so that their joy will be full, Father, give to them now as I pray in Jesus' name. I pray, my Father and my God, that before we walk out of this place, every one of us will have a testimony in Jesus' name. Thank you, my Father. And more than anything else, I pray, Lord, that every one of us gathered here today in your kingdom, none will be found wanting in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we pray in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Well, if you believe that prayer is already answered, shout hallelujah.